Hello, and welcome to I'm Sick Not Crazy, the podcast that helps you to take control of your own health and healing. My name is Jennifer James, and I'm a licensed and practicing psychotherapist here to talk about becoming your healthiest self, both physically and psychologically. As a licensed psychotherapist, I encourage you to seek professional mental health treatment for any issues that you may be struggling with. If you think that mental health care is something that doesn't fit into your lifestyle, there is an option available that works on your schedule. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, a mental health care company that offers four ways to get in touch with a licensed counselor: video sessions, phone calls, chat, and messaging. BetterHelp is available worldwide. You can access your BetterHelp therapist from every country, and there are counselors who speak a variety of languages. Best of all, BetterHelp offers you the ability to message your counselors day or night and get replies within 24 to 48 hours, and often within just hours or the same day. To get started, please go to my personal link at betterhelp.com/sicknotcrazy, and BetterHelp will get you started on your healthcare journey. Hello, and welcome back to I'm Sick Not Crazy with Jennifer James, marriage and family therapist. Today, I want to talk about gaslighting, what it is, and how to recognize it. So it wasn't until after my first marriage that I first heard about the concept of gaslighting. And as soon as I understood what it meant, I thought, wow, I wish I'd known about that years ago. That perfectly describes my 6 years of marriage. I'm hopeful that I can save you years of pain and frustration by sharing this information with you now. The term comes from the 1944 black and white film Gaslight, which I've actually taken the time to rent on Amazon and watch for myself. It's dated, but still a wonderful psychological thriller, and I definitely recommend it. In the movie, the main character marries a man that seems perfect in every way. He's charming, handsome, wealthy, and appears to be completely in love with her. After the wedding, they move to his ancestral home, where things slowly and insidiously start to unravel. The woman's belongings keep going missing and appearing in strange places, and the gaslights, from which the movie gets its name, keep turning on and off at strange times. When the woman tells her husband about these peculiar occurrences, he tells her that they aren't actually happening and that she's losing her mind. He even goes so far as to get a psychiatrist to examine her and back up his claims of her insanity. His insistence on her mental instability is so pervasive that she actually starts to believe that she's going crazy, until the big reveal in the end when we find out what his devious plan was the whole time. I won't spoil it for you. Gaslight is a wonderful example of the slow, methodical, and insidious nature of gaslighting. It's a long game power play where the perpetrator slowly makes the victim question her or his own reality. The Psychology Today article, 11 Warning Signs of Gaslighting, by Stephanie A. Sarkis, PhD, describes gaslighting this way. Gaslighting is a tactic in which a person or entity, in order to gain more power, makes a victim question their reality. It works much better than you may think. Anyone is susceptible to gaslighting, and it's a common technique of abusers, dictators, narcissists, and cult leaders. It's done slowly, so the victim doesn't realize how much they've been brainwashed. The slow and methodical nature of gaslighting is what gives it such power. Because of the steady and mounting message the victim receives that her or his senses can't be trusted, it begins to feel like the truth. According to Sarkis, there are 11 warning signs of gaslighting to watch out for, and I'd like to explore them here. 1. They tell blatant lies. 2. They deny they ever said something, even though you have proof. 3. They use what is near and dear to you as ammunition. 4. They wear you down over time. 5. Their actions do not match their words. 6. They throw in positive reinforcement to confuse you. 7. They know confusion weakens people. 8, they project. 9, they try to align people against you. 10, they tell you or others that you're crazy. 11, they tell you everyone else is a liar. Let's explore these symptoms in more detail. I think that the first two make a good pairing. Gaslighters love to lie. They use it as a tool to confuse you. Even if you have a recording of them doing the thing that they're lying about, they'll continue to lie and tell you that it didn't happen. They'll do it with a straight face and belittle you for trying to stand up for yourself, truth, and reality. Why do they do this? Well, because over time, it makes you start to question the nature of truth and facts. It makes you think that maybe nothing in the world is certain, which is exactly what they want. When you no longer know the nature of truth, you're easily manipulated to believe whatever the gaslighter wants you to believe. Number 3, using what is near and dear to you as ammunition against you is a potent tool. My ex-husband used to use my religion against me, attempting to control me based on religious beliefs about gender and relational power dynamics. I've worked with clients who intimidated their partners into staying with them by saying that they would take away their children if they left. Remember that this is a power and control tactic. It's not based in reality, but because it touches on deep-seated fears, beliefs, or values, it works to intimidate and control the victim. Number 4. They wear you down over time is an important one. Gaslighters start out with a friendly and welcoming demeanor and charm their victims into trusting them, and then over time begin to introduce their power and control tactics one subtle drop at a time. By slowly chipping away at the victim's reality in relationship to truth, victims often don't realize that their worlds have become more and more confusing until they don't trust their own senses at all, which leaves them in the precarious position of looking to the gaslighter to tell them what to believe. This is exactly the outcome that the gaslighter wants. Number 5 is probably the biggest giveaway of a gaslighter. Their actions don't match their words. They tell you that they're going to do something and then they don't do it. They tell you something was done and then you find out that it wasn't. They make promises that they don't keep, and then they tell you that they never promised it in the first place. If you start to notice this trend, run. Number 6, they throw in positive reinforcement to confuse you. Works like this. The gaslighter has told you that you're crazy and don't know anything one too many times. And you're starting to think that this person is a bully and you need to get out of the relationship, leave the company, or even the country. Then, suddenly the gaslighter does something nice for you, gives you a gift or a compliment, a tax break, etc. You think, well, maybe they're not so bad. Maybe I was overreacting. And then the gaslighting resumes even stronger than before. As the victim's confusion deepens, number 7 comes into play. They know confusion weakens people. Our ability to trust our own senses and interpretation of reality gives us a rootedness in life. By eroding your ability to trust that you know what is true and not true, the gaslighter is literally cutting you off at the root, leaving you weakened and dependent on them for support. That is the entire point of the gaslighting process. Number 8, they project. This one is super weird when you experience it. You confront the gaslighter about bad behavior, and instead of taking responsibility, they accuse you of doing whatever it was they did instead. For instance, my ex-husband used to accuse me of being bad with money when I would talk to him about the fact that he just emptied our bank account. Gaslighters do this because it distracts you from the reality of what happened and makes you start defending yourself instead. Number 9, they try to align people against you. This tactic may or may not be based in reality. Gaslighters tell their victims that others are against them and that the only person that the victim can trust is the gaslighter. Remember that they lie, so they may be making it up, but they may actually go so far as to poison people against you. I had an ex-boyfriend who called me psycho bitch to anyone who would listen. By making people believe that I was crazy, he isolated me from my support system in an attempt to make me more dependent on him. This tactic also served to make people question the validity of my statements, especially about him and the way he treated me. Number 10, they tell you or others that you're crazy. I touched on this earlier, but this one is super important and bears repeating. I find that the operative word tends to be psycho. If anyone ever calls you psycho, run. If they call their exes psycho, run. If they call their family members psycho, run. Don't look back. This person is very likely a gaslighter. Number 11, they tell you that everyone else is a liar. Your world is already on shaky ground. You don't know what is real and what isn't anymore. You're not sure that you can trust your own senses or that you're mentally sound. Then, the gaslighter tells you that your family, the media, your friends, other countries, or some group is always lying to you. Since you don't know what's true anymore anyway, this gives the gaslighter the power to shape reality to his or her own benefit. Anyone can fall victim to these tactics. This isn't something that only happens to gullible people. It happens to smart, educated, and powerful people all of the time. If you're reading this and recognizing that there's a gaslighter in your life, don't blame yourself. It's not your fault. Don't try to change the gaslighter or reason with them. It won't work. Just leave. It will take time for the world to start making sense again after being gaslit, and that's okay. Give yourself the patience and gentleness that you were missing with the gaslighter while you heal and find your footing again. The important thing is just to be with yourself as long as it takes to get to the other side of healing. Thanks so much for listening. It was wonderful to talk to you today, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you for listening to this week's I'm Sick Not Crazy podcast with Jennifer James, marriage and family therapist. Please remember that this podcast is educational in nature, and it's not meant to substitute for medical or psychological advice. To learn more about my work or to contact me, please visit my website at jenniferjames-author.com. And while you're there, please visit and follow my blog. Thanks so much for listening, and remember that you can take control of your own health.